But I am convinced that when you preach the word of God, Christ will build the church. And on that word, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. We've been there several times before. If you find it's in the New Testament towards the end of your Bible, if you find Hebrews, go two books to the right and you'll be at 1 Peter. We're going to go to chapter 4 and read verses 7 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. And here's what God's Word says to all of us here this morning. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, the power, forever and ever. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, as your word speaks here specifically, I know to me, it says that if anyone speaks, he should speak, do so as if speaking the very words of God. This morning, Lord, I want to do exactly that. I want to speak exactly what it is that you want me to say to your people here this morning, Lord. Father, I want hearts to be opened up and eyes to be open and ears to be open, Lord, to receive your message here this morning, Lord, and that includes myself. So, Father, whatever it is that you need for us to learn about you here today, Father, we open our hearts to that truth, and we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I am a bivocational pastor. When I'm not preparing a sermon or serving this church, I work 40 hours a week at a place in Waynesboro called McClung Companies. I work in their shipping department. I pack and I ship boxes all day long. I like my job. I really do. I like it. For me to be effective and efficient at my job, my company provided me with the necessary tools of the trade. I would be lost without my box cutter, without my tape gun, without my two-wheel dolly, and without my cart that I put all my boxes on. And there's other tools that I use within my eight-hour day, but those that I mentioned are necessary for me to do my job right at McClung's. I'm sure to some degree I could manage without them, but with them helps me, it helps my company, and it helps my company's customers for whom I ship a lot of our printed material. Needless to say, I did bring some of my own expertise into the job, such as my organizational skills, which drive my wife crazy sometimes. I guess it could be a blessing or it could be a curse, depending on which way you look at it. And also, I have a little bit of knowledge about computers and things like that, and those skills help my job just go a little bit better. But I use them all for the benefit of my company and ultimately for our customers. So with that in mind, let's shift gears here a little bit. When we begin our journey as a believer, there are things that we need to have to make our journey go a little bit smoother for us and for other believers too. Today we're going to look at something called spiritual gifts. We're not going to look at the gifts themselves, but we are going to look at the reason and the purpose behind the spiritual gifts. There are three different places in Scripture where you can find a listing of the spiritual gifts in various forms. One of them is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, virtually the whole chapter, and we're going to be spending a lot of time there this morning. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, and the scripture that we just read this morning, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. And we're going to look at these scriptures this morning to help answer some basic questions about spiritual gifts. The first thing I want to point out is this, that there are abilities that we all have. Some will call these abilities natural talents. Some call these skills. In the vernacular, we might say this, well, that person just has a knack for doing whatever that talent may be or whatever that ability is. Let me give you just a few for instances. For instance, Phil Thompson has a natural talent for playing the piano and singing, and so does his mother. Gail, my wife, has a talent for quilting and sewing. Daryl has a talent for repairing automobiles. Most of the ladies, if not all the ladies in this sanctuary here this morning, are great cooks. That's a talent. That's an ability. Everybody in here has a talent and an ability and a skill for doing something. But these talents, these abilities, and these skills are not spiritual gifts, and we cannot confuse the two. They are different. Even though our natural talents can be used in some way to benefit God's kingdom, for instance, Cindy playing the piano, the choir singing this morning, they can be used to benefit the kingdom, still, nonetheless, they are not spiritual gifts. You will not find playing a musical instrument or singing in the list of spiritual gifts. But again, they can be used for God's kingdom in different ways. So what are the spiritual gifts, and how do we get them? Let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read a couple verses here. Actually, I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. 1 Corinthians, if you're still at 1 Peter, go to a couple books to the left, about six or seven books to the left, and you will find 1 Corinthians. It's right after Romans and right before 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 13 that talks a little more about spiritual gifts. We have six fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin, and we're going to fill them out here this morning with some of the scripture here. Starting with verse 1. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Let's go to our fill in the blanks in the bulletin, and we're going to use a lot of this scripture to fill most of those fill in the blanks. And the first question that is asked there in the bulletin is this: who receives the spiritual gifts? Who receives these spiritual gifts? And our answer would be this: only believers receive spiritual gifts. Only believers receive the spiritual gifts. And we know that for several different reasons. One, we have to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and there's only one group of people on the face of this earth that are that, and that would be believers, Christians. They are the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, so the Spirit is going to gift those people. Another thing, too, is when Paul is writing this book, and back in verse 1, he's addressing it. He says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers. And what he's talking to the brothers and sisters at the church in Corinth. So we know that this book is addressed to them. So he's speaking about gifts that they will have. Also in verses 12 and 13, Paul goes on to give this magnificent dialogue, actually monologue, about the body of Christ within that church. And the body is made up of believers. That would be us, the believers. So to answer the first question, who receives spiritual gifts? The answer would be only believers receive spiritual gifts. Unbelievers do not receive spiritual gifts, but if at some point in time they do become believers, they will receive the spiritual gifts. Let's go to our second fill in the blank. How do we receive the spiritual gifts? The answer to that, and then we'll go back and explain it. The answer to that is this: the Holy Spirit gives the spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives us those spiritual gifts. And verse number 7, it says this: now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And again in verse 11, he says, all these work for one and the same Spirit, and He gives them. The Holy Spirit gives us the spiritual gifts. And it's quite remarkable, because over the last couple months we've been speaking about all these things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives, and we come up with such a big, tremendous list of them, and it came as a surprise maybe to many of us, all the things that the Spirit actually does in our lives, so we could actually tack on one more, that He gives us these spiritual gifts, and we'll discuss why here in a few minutes. But with all the other responsibilities that He has, another one is this: He gives us those spiritual gifts. Now, let's go to, so we know this, only believers receive the gifts. So if you're in here today and you're a believer, you have a spiritual gift or gifts. How do we receive them? The Holy Spirit gave you those gifts. Question number 3 in our bulletin: what gift or gifts do we receive? And the answer to that is in verse 11. The Holy Spirit determines what gifts we receive. The Holy Spirit. Let me repeat verse 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The King James Version of the Bible says this: just as He wills, as He wills, as He determines, as He wills in our lives, we are going to get these spiritual gifts. And every believer has at least one spiritual gift. You have a spiritual gift. If you're a believer, you have at least one spiritual gift. There's a saying that I learned very early in my Christian walk. I still remember the person telling me this. She said this. She said, Mike, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. So God isn't looking for people who already have all these talents and then says, you know what? Oh, I can use this person because they have that, or I can use this person because they have this. He says this: I'm looking for people who are willing. And then He takes the Jimmy Bells, and He takes the Jacobs, and He takes the Britneys, and He takes the Donnas, and He says, I'm going to equip you with these gifts so you can do My work in My kingdom. And He equips us all differently because each one of us is in a different situation. And because we're in different situations, He knows exactly what we can do and what we can't do in those particular situations. So he will equip us to do that accordingly. Here's a very common question that I hear. How do I know what spiritual gift I have or gifts that I have? I don't know what my gifts are. Well, I'm going to give you three possible answers to that question. One way is this. Believe it or not, that there is a test that you can take. I've seen them. There, you can get them in the written form. You could probably go online on the internet and look up a test for spiritual gifts. And if you answer the questions, usually there's between like 50 to 100 questions on the test, and if you answer them honestly, it will tell you pretty much what you're gifted in, depending on how you answer those questions. I've taken the test before, and I kind of knew what my gifts were, and after I took the test, I realized that this test really did a pretty good job of narrowing down what my gifts were. Again, the thing is, you got to better answer the questions honestly. If it says, do you like to get up in front of people, and you don't, and you answer that question, oh, yes, I do, it's going to say, well, maybe you should, you know, be a teacher or someone that's in front of people, and that might not necessarily be your gift. The second and a better way is this. What do other people see in you? What are the gifts that other people see in your life? Quite often, we don't recognize that gift within ourselves, but others certainly do. I know that there are a few particular, actually many people in here this morning, and I am not going to mention any names in particular. But there are people in here, I know the one in particular certainly has the gift of giving. There are several who have the gift of helping others. There's one in particular who has the gift of encouragement. And there are many of you who have the gift of serving. I know who you are because I know and see you using that gift week after week after week here in the church. So you have those spiritual gifts. And I'm not going to tell you who those people are because you probably already know when you hear those words. Well, the gift of encouragement, oh, that would be so-and-so, or that gift of giving, that would be so-and-so, or that gift of serving, oh, that would be so-and-so. There are certain individuals who use those gifts over the last couple weeks during our snow and ice and help get the church ready in some way, shape, or form that we could have places to park. Those people have spiritual gifts, and they use them. But the third and best way is this. How do you feel when you use your gift? How do you feel when you use your gift? Now, this next sentence that I have written on my notes here, I have in capital letters. So, obviously, when I wrote it, it must have been important. So, here you go. When we use our gifts with the right intentions, they will never be a burden. Let me repeat that. When we use our spiritual gifts with the right intentions, they will never be a burden. If you're trying to do something that you're not gifted in, it will be a burden. You will feel awkward about doing it. You won't feel right about doing it. But when you're doing that gift that you have, it is never, ever, ever a burden to you. You do it with gladness. Now, we go to our fourth fill-in-the-blank, and for that, we actually have to scoop back to our scripture back in 1 Peter chapter 4 again, so we can fill in this fourth fill-in-the-blank. So, about spiritual gifts so far. We know that only believers receive them. We know that the Holy Spirit gives them to us, and He gives them to us as He determines, not as we determine, as He determines. Our fourth question in our bulletin is this. Well, what do we use our gifts for? And I am going to read 1 Peter chapter 4 and it's verse 10, will answer that question. Each one should use whatever gift he or she has received to serve others faithfully. That is our fill in the blank. The gifts are used to serve each other faithfully. Well, you might ask the question, well, who's each other? Did you know our primary responsibility and use of our gifts is for the body of believers? The church, the congregation, ourselves, other believers? Sure, we will use spiritual gifts for the unbelieving world at some point in time. That's inevitable. That is going to happen. But our first and primary goal is we take care of each other. And to serve, well, there's a big word, to serve each other faithfully. So we are to serve each other in the body of Christ here at Beech Grove and to other believers throughout the community and throughout the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, if we flip back there again, I hate to keep on flipping back and forth, but again, these are two of the three places where we find the gifts. Starting with verse 12, and I'm not going to read this, but verse 12 all the way through verse 26, Paul gives this magnificent monologue about the body of Christ, the body of believers. And he says this, that the body is the church. And that could mean two different things. That could mean the local church here at Beech Grove, or it could mean the global church, the whole church as a whole. But this morning, let's just focus on the local church. And for us, it would be Beech Grove. And Paul compares the people in the church, that would be each and every one of us here, to a body with parts. And each part of our body has a function. We have hands, and we have arms, and we have legs, and we have feet, and we have toes, and fingers, and they all perform certain functions. We have ears and noses, and our ears hear, and our eyes see. And he makes that comparison, and what he's saying is this, that everybody in the body has their function too. And when every body part is functioning well, the entire body functions well. I'm going to ask a very rhetorical question. Have you ever been sick? We've probably all been sick at some point in time. When that certain part of our body isn't functioning like it should, don't we just kind of feel miserable all over? It just doesn't feel right. We might have a stomach ache, and it might be localized to our stomach, but the rest of us, it just makes the rest of us just not want to do anything. And the same applies for our body of believers here at the church. We need each other. Some of us are eyes, and some of us are ears, and some of us are big toes, and some of us are tummies. That would probably be Lee. Sorry, Lee. I get to pick on you more because you're sitting up front today. But when one of those parts isn't working, it brings us all down. It brings us all down. That's why it's so important that we have to figure out what is that gift that we can do. And we do it well. I can tell you right now, one of my gifts that I can't do very well is pushing snow out of parking lots. I don't do that very well at all, unless you put a shovel in my hand and then I'm dead after about 5 minutes. There are people who have been gifted to serve and serve this church, and I'm glad that there are. Then Paul goes on to talk not only about the body, he talks about that some of them are visible and some of those parts are invisible. Yeah, on the outside of our body, we see hands and the face and ears and eyes, but inside our body are parts that are just as important, our heart and our lungs and things like that, and they are not visible. And he compares the body of Christ with parts that are visible and invisible. I am a very visible part of this church because I stand here in front of this congregation every Sunday and I preach and I teach. That is the gift that he has given me, and I use that to the best that he has gifted me to use that. At least I hope so. But not everybody is visible. There are some people who are behind the scenes who are doing the work Sunday after Sunday, night after night, the prayer warriors, the people who are sitting at home praying. And sometimes we never see these people. They're like the invisible parts of the body that if we didn't have those, we would not be functioning properly. Let's go to our fifth fill in the blank in our bulletin. So we know that we need each other. We know that everyone has a gift. We know that some of those gifts are visible, like myself. Some are invisible, kind of behind the scenes doing the work that needs to be done. Our fifth fill in the blank, we're going to take, and I'll just give you the answer to that, and then we'll actually read it out of the scripture. And the fill in the blank would go this. We are given different gifts so that there will be no division in the body and that every part should have equal concern for each other. Now, those are not my words. They're actually words I just took right out of my NIV Bible. Starting with verse 24, the second part of that verse. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body, that would be us, and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. Why? So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Not every part of us is the same. Not everybody is a teacher. Not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody is gifted with the gifts of serving and giving. But every person is important, regardless of who we are. Just because I stand here in front of you every Sunday morning does not make me any more important than the person who is praying day after day after day at their home for things to happen within this body of believers. Now, there are some people in some churches who want to be everything to everybody. First, let me say this. That is not biblical. God did not give me or give you all the gifts. Second, I need to say this. If a person tries to do everything, use all the gifts, I guarantee that they will probably be pretty bad at one or more of those because you're not going to be good at the things that the Spirit has not gifted you to do. And it will be a burden. It will be a burden. God did not give me the gift of administration. Back in November of 2007, I sat right there, and there was a group of people from Beech Grove Church who were asking me questions about becoming their pastor. And I said this, I feel like I've been gifted to teach and to preach, but don't ask me to do administrative work because I can't do it. I really don't care what color you paint the walls. I don't care what color the carpet is. And I'm really not good at organizing dinners and things like that. That's why we have a board that meets once a month. And praise the Lord that there are people on the church board who have gifts of administration that can help me where I lack because I cannot do it all. But I don't think the Spirit wants us to do it all. He wants us to do just our little piece of the puzzle. And when we do and use that piece of the puzzle that we've been gifted with, things really go well. Let's go to our very last fill in the blank. Actually, we're going to once again go back to 1 Peter for the final answer here. And the fill in the blank would say this. When everyone uses their gifts, God gets the praise and the glory. God gets the praise and the glory. We use our gifts to build up the body of believers. That would be you and I. And to edify each other. And that's good. But ultimately, when we look good, God looks good. And then we can put all the praise and glory on Him. You know, it's unfortunate to say that sometimes churches can be in a state of chaos for whatever reasons there may be, and the answers are limitless of the why churches get into some chaotic conditions. But when we use our gifts the way we're supposed to use our gifts, we build up the body. I help build up you. You help build up me. We help build up each other. And that makes God look good. And that's the purpose behind the spiritual gifts. God gets the praise. God gets the glory. And after all, it was His Spirit that gave us these gifts to begin with. Right? It's His thing. So I challenge you, what is your gift? Have you ever tried thinking about, do I have a spiritual gift? Certainly you have a talent of some sort. Singing, playing the piano, baking, cooking, things like that. And all those are good things, and they can be used to glorify the Lord. But you have a spiritual gift. And when that's used, it builds up the body. As I started off this message by saying this, the company I work for, McClung Companies, they gave me the right tools because they wanted me to get my job done right. Because when I do, it benefits the company and it benefits our customers. The Holy Spirit gave all of us believers the right tools in the form of spiritual gifts. So we as believers can get our jobs done as well. So we can benefit each other. So we can benefit the whole body of believers. And ultimately, we do it for the glory of God. And to Him be the glory. Let's go to God in prayer.